Great. Welcome back to part three. So we've talked about giving as a habit. We've talked about giving as an instinct. And this last one, one of the other things you talk about is giving as a perspective. So what do you mean by that?
So, yeah, if you go back to the original laws that we see in the Old Testament, there's the instruction to tithe. We talked about the leaving the edges and giving to the priests and all of that sort of stuff. There's an instruction for, and give your first fruits. So as you harvest, like, give the first, like, the best of what you have. Like, there's this giving, instinctive giving at the beginning to give your first fruits. But then there's this other command, and consider the poor.
Mm.
Like, don't forget the poor. Some of the reason why, again, they would leave the edges of the field was so those who didn't have fields could go and harvest. And we see that in the story of Naomi in the book of Ruth. And this consider the poor is the genius, I think, in the whole command. So a few years ago, I was on holiday, and just with some friends, and we were in Croatia, and we hired a little, like, putt-putt boat, like, little, like, not a speedboat, but a little motorboat that went very slowly around the coast. So we hired this, and it was this little thing, and we went round, and then at one point, we end up going into this harbour, and we're going to this harbour, and there's this beautiful yacht, like, docked, really beautiful yacht. It had, like, four decks and, like, some couple of, like, fun, like, speedboats, whatever type things, ribs, whatever, on the back, and, like, nice sleek lines and dark windows and, like, hot tub on the deck and all. It was a nice, really nice yacht. I don't know how many million. The harbour master, in his wisdom, had docked next to this beautiful yacht an even more beautiful yacht with six or seven decks. And I think it had some sort of, like, helicopter type thing on the top, and had a much nicer boat just like next to it. And he was like, oh my word, that yacht is incredible. But what it got me thinking was, so the guy in the four-deck yacht, so imagine he's docked and he's, like, feeling pretty good about life and feeling, like, pretty, look how I'm living this beautiful life. And then overnight, the harbour master's docked this other yacht next to him, and he wakes up in the morning, and there's this bigger yacht, a couple more decks that kind of tower above him. This guy's got a helicopter, and this guy's got some nicer boats and whatever. Like, it's a whole different story. Does he feel suddenly like he hasn't got enough? Is he looking up at the guy who's got more decks than him and more toys than him and more boat than him and going, oh man, I haven't made it yet. I'm still not there. Now, he has a choice, it turns out, because that morning he has a choice that he can look up at the yacht that's next to him, or he can look down at me in this little, like, 25 euro for a couple of hours, like, little boat that we hired, that, like, he can look at me. No, I'm not poor. Like, I'm having a great time. I'm on holiday with friends. We're having in Croatia, and we're having an amazing time. Like, by no stretch of any imagination am I a guy with not enough. But for this guy, he can look at me and go, wow, I am really blessed because I'm on this yacht. Or he can look up, even with his multi-million pound yacht, and go, huh, I'm not enough. I haven't got enough. I'm that 20-25% away from having enough. It's about perspective. And when the Bible says consider the poor, it's a moment of genius, because our whole society tells us to consider those who have more than us, to set our sights on those who are ahead of us, who have a higher salary than us, who have a bigger house than us, who have a nicer car than us, who go on better holidays than us, whatever it might be, the people who have the next, who have the more, who have the... That's what our culture tells us to look at and has done throughout history, throughout the ages. And God says, don't do that, because that is a path to dissatisfaction. Like, comparison will kill joy. Like, don't do that. But consider the poor, because firstly, you will feel blessed and you will find contentment in how blessed you are, what you have. But also, you will tap into God's spirit of generosity to not just take solace in the fact that you have more than them, but to see the way in which the blessings can flow from you to them. How do I live generously to see life and blessing flow, to see justice flow, to live with those, to bless those, to love those, to provide for those who are suffering justice, who are living the reality of poverty, not just my, oh, I'm 20% away from not having enough, but the reality of poverty, hunger and desperation and brokenness and all the things that can come with that. How do I now feel compelled to buy into God's vision for the reconciliation of all things? And what we see in the early church is this community where nobody went without, where everybody had what they needed. And you only do that by paying attention to those around you who have less than you, and then living generously with all that God has blessed you with to ensure that nobody goes without. If we spend our time looking at the 20% away from enough, we will just get further and further and further away from enough. But if we can do a 180 on our perspective and consider those around us who have less, we will find it easier to buy into God's vision for the reconciliation of all things, for justice to flow down from the mountains like rivers.
I guess you're talking a perspective, but actually the consider the poor is an invitation to action, not just a status. Is it because him on his yacht looking down on you make him feel great?
Yeah, what he didn't do
was throw some cash to you,
or invite me in,
come for cocktails,
come and have. Yeah, he didn't do that, and he probably should have done.
But that invitation to action. I mean, we are a busy church with community outreach projects. Yeah. You know, we have Yoga for Family doing amazing things with families all across the community.
The Roost,
we have got the Roost and the Welcome
Food
Hub.
Bank that happens.
Yeah,
the Job Club and all the different and the youth work that we do and all these different things that we do that is the pouring out, the justice rolling down.
Yeah,
like a river, like that's what we're called to, and the invitation is one of participation.
Yeah.
Not just sponsorship, not just blessing, it's the participation in that.
And that was going to be my question there is I guess there's two parts, isn't there? There's the perspective thing and contributing, like we talked about in the previous conversations, to we contribute to this, but also I don't sponsor the work of Bridget in the Roost, and that's my participation in justice. There's a personal invitation for each one of us here, isn't there, in what's my part to play to bring about justice to my own street, to my own community, in my own workplace.
Yeah.
What does that look like for us as individuals?
Yeah, well, it's that dialing into what the Spirit's up to. Like we are, and it's also that community attitude, not just that individual attitude. Like, because sometimes we can look at injustice and go, yeah, but what can I do? Like, I'm just me. Like, I can't do it all. I can't answer all these things. And if I try, it's just too soul-destroying, like it's too difficult. But there's a community aspect. What can we do collectively? Well, we can actually do extraordinary things. What can God do through us? Well, God can do extraordinary things through us collectively, but the kingdom of God is always expressed in community. Like, the way of Jesus cannot be lived in isolation. It can only be lived out in community and relationship, because God's a relational God. Like, we do this together. And yes, it isn't, and you know, and some of this is really easy to see in how we do this in various projects, etc., and giving to those and sponsoring that and all that sort of stuff, and supporting that is really important. But it's also like, well, how can I work in collaboration with those people around me in my workplace or in my neighborhood or in my context to go, well, let's tap into the imagination that is gifted us through the Spirit. Let's tap into what the sense of the impossible, which is made possible by the Spirit, and what could we do if we were more in tune with what the Spirit was up to in our various contexts.
Yeah, I think that's absolutely right. And that actually is the invitation across all three, isn't it? Whether we're talking about giving as a habit, giving as an instinct, or giving as a perspective, yeah. I guess our invitation or challenge for each one of us is daily, Holy Spirit, would you fill us? Would you guide me? Would you help me review my finances? Help me review what I'm doing with my with my life and everything as a habit. But also, would you help me review my habits of generosity in my day in, day out rhythms? Would you help me in my instinct to have my eyes open to what the needs here around me today? But also, Holy Spirit, would you break my heart for what breaks yours, and to be a blessing to all of those around me?
And what's interesting for me is a few years ago now, I remember noticing about myself. I was like, do you know what? Sometimes people talk about something and like my inner voice is a bit cynical, or I'm not instinctively generous. Mm. I'm kind of like, oh yeah, someone should give to that. Like, and I noticed it about myself. I was going, Adam, you're not always generous. Like, your instinct isn't always generous. So my practice might be we tithe, we do all the, you know, we have the habits in place. But I was like, but my heart, sometimes my response to need or situations is a little bit cynical, or is a little bit passive, or is a little bit, I was like, my heart's not right in this. And I prayed about it. And I prayed about it over a length of time. And I didn't just pray. I also tried practicing. I was going, so let your instinct be. And if there's an opportunity, I'm going to give. I'm going to choose to be the person who goes and does that. And it changed over time. I was liberated over time. There's a conscious buy-in on my part, like, because I noticed something about my spirit that wasn't right. So there's a conscious buy-in then that we have to work on in that and go, that's not who Jesus wants me to be. Mm. That's not the freest version of me that is possible. So Spirit, come and change me. Change my instincts towards generosity. And he's doing that. And I suspect he's still doing that. But all of these things we're talking about, the beauty of it is, yes, we get generous and we support all these things and we bless all these things or whatever. And in it all, we are liberated.
Yeah.
We are transformed into who Jesus is calling us to be.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's ultimately what we long for, all of us anyway.
Right.
I'm going to pray that for us. God, would you right now, even where we are, where we're watching or listening, would you nudge us by the Spirit to see where we can be generous? Would you nudge us to have that instinct of where we can give away of ourselves, of our resources, of our time, of our talents? And Lord, will you shift our perspective each day to consider the poor, to consider those around us, and that we may be transformed more and more into the people that you're calling and creating us to be? Amen.
Amen.
Well, thank you so much for those thoughts. And thank you for tuning in. If you want to know more about us as a church and what our thoughts are around giving, there's a whole load off. You go to yeovil.cc/give. There's loads of information there and more of this about our values and heart and things there. And a bit more about what we do as an organization and as a church. But thank you so much for watching and listening.
Yeah. And join in and engage in all the ways that Joe's talked about. Anyway, you want to find out more, come down, participate. Join in, volunteer, give, worship with us, engage with us in all the ways that we talk about. We're better with you.